This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part two of a two-part series. Today we're talking about orgasmic abundance. We are really just continuing on from part one. We have been talking about females, their genital anatomy, secret maps to how to find out what really turns a woman on, erectile tissue, genital pleasure. And basically, we're going today to transition after we complete our conversation on female secret maps to hidden pleasure and a little bit about the men. We're going to go into orgasmic abundance because people love novelty. And let's find out what we can do once we understand how our genital wiring works. So hopefully you've been with us for part one, and let's just dive right back in. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about our guest for today, Sherry Winston. But first I want to say hi to Sherry Winston. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Patty. It's such a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Sherry's the founder of the Center for Intimate Arts. She's got an extensive background in nursing and healing arts and massage. She does over 45 classes. She's a genius. She's developed an entire map of genital anatomy. It's groundbreaking. She's the author of an upcoming book that talks about all of this. We'll reference it in the show. And let's just continue on. We have talked about all of the erectile tissue in a woman's genital area, and we just want to kind of really quickly finish up with the one thing we haven't talked about. What is that?
Well, there's probably a few things we haven't talked about, but the one important one I would like to get in is about the uterus. In our country, we have an epidemic of hysterectomy. That's removal of the uterus. We've got a rate that's 10 to 50 times higher than any other industrialized country in the world. And the attitude and the information that's given to women about this is it's no big deal if you're done having babies to have your uterus taken out, and women are told that it will not affect their sexuality. And that is just not true. The uterus is a player in the female sexual response. And the uterus actually moves, and during arousal it gets pulled up and forward, and that opens up the back of the vagina, which is where those nerve pathways enter, those really good spots that we mentioned briefly before. That's the major place those nerve pathways enter the vagina. So it opens that up so that they can be accessed by a nice pounding penis or other object of your choice at high-level arousal when that feels good. But not only is the uterine movement important to make that space and to access that pleasure, but during orgasm, the uterus actually moves up and down. And it is one of the things that can improve fertility. And the reason that the uterus does that is it's going to help, should there be a big, juicy puddle of semen floating around there, that movement of the uterus, the female orgasm, is going to help with the uptake of sperm. Now, just to be clear, you can get pregnant without having an orgasm. We all know that. But if you want to maximize your fertility, well-timed, powerful orgasms will do that. And if a doctor ever tells you to get your uterus out and tells you it won't affect your sexuality, women should know that that's not true.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I also want to say that just being orgasmic does great for your core conditioning and all of your muscle tone. I started, I got a personal trainer not too long ago, and she said, do this exercise, and I did it, and she said, oh, my God, you shouldn't be able to do that. she said, how did you do that? I can barely do that, blah, blah, blah. And I went, well, I don't know, And I said, I guess it's because I come 5 times a week at a minimum. And, she says, Mike, your core is like a rock. It's like a mountain.
Well, the thing about sex is so funny. If there was anything else that had all of the health benefits that arousal and orgasm has, doctors would be telling you to do it every day because it's got the benefits of exercise, aerobic exercise. It's got the benefits of bathing you with endorphins, so it's an antidepressant. It has meditation benefits, so all of these other things are being told we should do because it's healthy. No one is saying, and have lots of sex and lots of orgasms. It's good. It's
right,
really good.
Not to say that when you go into the bathroom, you sound like a fire hose, and you go out 3 seconds later, and everyone else looks at you going, what the heck just happened in there, right? But anyway, speaking of that, why don't we talk about the men, right? Because, why don't we just transition on that interesting note?
Well,
go figure. I'm thinking of the prostate, right, and men's ability to pee.
I think that's a very great transition. We think of male genitalia as being pretty obvious because it's out there, but the prostate is an important part of the male genitalia. In fact, the female prostate or G-spot or goddess spot or urethral sponge or whatever we want to call it that we just talked about in women is actually the same tissue that in men becomes the prostate. So it's very sensitive. There's lots of nerve endings there. And there's a lot of pleasure to be had for men if they are willing to open up to anal play, which is pretty much what you need to do to stimulate it directly. Although, both men and women, we can learn how to use our pelvic floor muscles to stimulate all of those internal parts also. So as far as the men go, the big thing to really help them expand their arousal and also start to learn how to have non-ejaculatory orgasms and so forth is working on the pelvic floor muscles and exploring and getting in touch with their prostate.
One thing I want to just back up before we talk about the prostate is we're talking about hidden erectile tissue. And I read somewhere, well, not only read somewhere, I know for a fact, and that 33% of a man's cock is actually underneath his balls.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most women, not most women, but I think a lot of women just, what you see is what you touch, and
mm-hmm.
they don't think to get that the underneath area engorged. Well,
mm-hmm.
could you talk a little bit about the importance of that underneath what we call the buried cock?
Well, I think that the same way we were talking about the female erectile network and how you're going to get the best arousal and orgasm when you have the whole network activated, the same really goes for men. And the testicles, too. So not only is there the part of the cock that sticks out that loves the attention, we all know, but the base of the cock, the part that's behind the balls, is just as sensitive and filled with just as much erectile tissue. The testicles are a wonderful, super sensitive area to play with. And so is the anus, because I think our much maligned assholes are an integral part of our genitalia, really.
And how would you get the buried cock engorged since it's buried?
Well, it's not really buried. I mean, it's really right under the skin. So if you just put your hands on the area right behind the balls and in front of the front of the anus, what's right underneath that skin is that more internal part of the cock. So it's not hard to find. And then you just do all the fun things that you do to the rest of it, of rubbing and stroking and squeezing and, and kissing and licking and all the good fun things.
Yeah, it can, triple in size, right?
Well, just like the rest of the penis, they will change dramatically in size, and so it will do the same thing.
It will. It will. Now let's go on to the prostate. Can that triple in size too? I mean, is that erectile?
It is, but it doesn't get as big. It has a capsule, so it does not increase in size as much as the rest of the penis does. But if you have a finger inside and you're rubbing it, you can feel it swell and firm. And of course, since it is an intense pleasure zone and there's some wonderful nerve places right in there, you can also sort of feel the base of the cock from inside. There's a lot of wonderful territory inside there to play with and pleasure.
Okay, so I'm going to take a break and we're going to come back to that concept. Please stay with us. We're talking with Sherry Winston. You can find out more about Sherry at her website. It's sherrywinston.com. I'm going to spell that for you, sherrywinston.com. We're talking about orgasmic abundance, and please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking to Sherry Winston, and we were talking about what you can do with a prostate. Please continue.
Well, there's lots of fun things to do with a prostate. Of course, the owner of the prostate has to be willing, and with all of these explorations, I always encourage people to play with themselves first, that we have to be our own learning laboratory. So the same would go for women who want to explore anal pleasure as well as men, which is if it's something you haven't explored, the place to start is not necessarily with a partner, but with yourself. And for men who want to start exploring that, there are some wonderful sex toys specifically designed for prostate stimulation for men. That they can use as well. So there's a lot of different ways to start exploring that besides inviting a partner to go in.
Now, I'm going to ask you, because you have a medical background, you've done work at the gynecology, you're a nurse practitioner, you actually have a real medical background.
Do you
believe that there are health benefits to stimulating the prostate?
I do. I believe the same way that there are health benefits to orgasm in general for both men and women. I think that stimulating the prostate, massaging it, and the same way, actually, again, women's genitalia can be massaged, can be wonderfully healing in lots of different ways on an emotional and energetic level as well as a physical level. So I think it's a great thing to add to your repertoire both for pleasure and for health.
So what would be a good way for a woman possibly to give a man some stimulation?
Well, we could even do a whole show on anal play or something, because there's a whole bunch of issues that get involved in terms of hygiene and gloves and lube and relaxation and so forth. So assuming that we, all of those things are in place and everybody's up for playing, then the real key words with anal stimulation are slow and lubricated.
Slow and lubricated. I love it. That sort of says it all, doesn't it?
And you really, and I actually think it's a wonderful thing for men to learn to receive penetration, because I think it helps them learn how to penetrate better once they've been on the receiving end of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But there's one other thing I would love to mention briefly while we're talking about male genitalia, and I would love to briefly mention the foreskin. A lot of men in our culture don't have a foreskin, and our cultural attitude about foreskins is that they're Mother Nature's doilies, that she just had some extra time on her hands, so she just threw this little thing on top, and it just catches dirt, and it's old-fashioned, and we should get rid of it because it doesn't really serve any purpose. And so I think one of the things we really need to understand is that the foreskin serves a dozen purposes, and that it's an important component of the male genitalia. And I think as a culture, we need to rethink this idea that removing them is a good thing.
Well, you have now put yourself on the record. I guess you can't go back if it's been removed, but you're definitely putting out the word for people to think about if they've got the choice about what to do for their kids, don't they?
They do, you know, and it's the same for, you know, women who may have had a hysterectomy and no longer have a uterus, or, you know, anyone else who has all of the sorts of challenges and disabilities that we get in life. And the wonderful thing about our sexuality is we can learn how to use everything we've got to the best of its ability. So if there's a part that you don't have anymore, it doesn't mean you can't have amazing, fabulous, expanded sex. So that's a really important thing to understand. At the same time, it would be great if we could start rethinking what we're doing to our baby boys.
That would be great. Well, I think some of the work you're doing in the world really is promoting orgasmic abundance in so many different ways.
Well, I will say the foreskin not only is part of the male pleasure system in many important ways, but also our genitals co-evolved. And so a foreskin is there because it's supposed to fit a certain way with a vagina. And one of the challenges we have is without that, there's a lot more friction during intercourse. And it's one of the challenges that I see in working with people as a practitioner, and I was a midwife for a long time and all of these things, is that the foreskin, this sort of essential component of the intercourse system, is missing.
Uh-huh. So do you recommend people have slower intercourse as a result?
Well, I recommend lots of lube. I'm a big fan of lube. And also to really sort of rethink the type of actions that we use. That big thrusting in and out move, which men usually need to have because they don't have the stimulation of the foreskin there, is not necessarily the best move to help women be orgasmic and can lead to too much friction. So I call it sort of learn to fuck like you have a foreskin, which is more of a rocking motion, and that you can even alternate those kinds of things where you might do some of that more, you know, classic kind of in-and-out pounding when the woman's at high-level arousal and it's feeling really great for her, but you might want to intersperse it with more of that rocking kind of motion. And if you think about what we tend to do when the woman is on top, we don't usually jump up and down on the cock, right? When we're on top, we usually rock our hips back and forth, right?
Right.
And that's one of the reasons that that position works so well for a lot of women in terms of pleasure and orgasm, because that's the most, that's the more natural intercourse motion that we would be doing if our partners had a foreskin.
Well, I think that's interesting. I actually saw a study that said that was, the woman's preferred sexual position, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I'd like to talk about the rocking motion just for a moment. And because I love that rocking motion myself, I absolutely love it. And I think there's a way where it's a very co-equal feeling between the male and, I mean, just leaving the foreskin issue aside, which I think is very fascinating, but, you know, what's done is done, so I'm going to, you know, duly
noted. Absolutely. You got to work with what you got.
But going on to the rocking thing, I love that because what I want is to feel met. And I also love it in the rocking. There's a way where I'm rocking him and he's rocking me, and we rock one another, and then we go beyond the rocking into a place where neither one of us is doing it, and we're both doing it, and we kind of go beyond that, and then we kind of go into that place, you know? being fully met. And I find sometimes that different positions other than the missionary position really are better for that.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think, you know, so much of what we do sexually nowadays is influenced by porn. The porn model of how you have sex.
And man on top is not a good rocking position necessarily, unless you have lots of pillows and it's altered somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to get to that mutual, more rocking, that rhythmic, trance-style place. And probably in almost any position if that's your intention, but it does seem to be more challenging to get to when men are on top, partly because they've got the sort of porn model of bang, 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 bang.
Side by side is very nice for that.
Uh-huh, or the sort of scissors, or kind of one person perpendicular and the guy's on his side and the woman's like perpendicular on her back with her legs thrown over.
Very nice for that rocking.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep, and you can kind of turn a little so you can see each other also. And
very nice.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, but wherever you are, it's great to actually communicate with your partner about having time during your lovemaking when you want to go into that more, it's almost, I don't know, meditative. You know, it's just, it's less of that boom, 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 and more of that you know?
Uh-huh, the rear entry can be really nice side by side for the rocking, too. Very,
mm-hmm.
very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to take another break. Please stay with us. We're here, and we're talking with Sherry Winston about orgasmic abundance. And you can find out more about Sherry at her website, which is a great website, I have to tell you. It's full of DVDs and a phenomenal blog. I signed up for her blog. It's just so well written. It's wonderful. And she's got ebooks and e-zines and everything. I love your website. SherryWinston.com, SherryWinston.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking with Sherry Winston about orgasmic abundance. And isn't it abundant? I love this conversation.
Me too. I love talking about orgasms. Almost as much as I like having them.
I feel like calling my partner up. This is such a juicy conversation. Come home. Anyway, I'll just go do my homework that you gave me.
Okay, orgasms. Let's talk more about orgasms and how to have bigger, better ones.
Yes, what's something we can do for the women?
Well, here's something that goes for everybody.
Okay.
I think each of us comes equipped with our own internal toolkit, and we can learn how to use those tools to do all kinds of amazing things with our sexuality. And the way I think of our toolkits is I think we've got tools of the mind, the body, the heart, and the spirit. And the main tools, the sort of easiest ones to talk about, are the body tools of breath and sound and movement. And this is stuff we can all do. And these are some of the simplest things to do to have better arousal and better orgasms. And the first one is to really start using your breath. And I don't mean faking anything, but I mean enhancing what your breath is already doing, making it deeper, making it faster, making it slower. Whatever it's already doing is to kind of expand that. And then the second best tool is our sound. And we've got huge sound inhibition in our culture about sex. But if we can start freeing and releasing our sound and enhancing our breath, arousal gets better, orgasm gets better. And then the third, you know, most important tool in our toolkit is movement. And we talked a little bit about two movements. We talked about pelvic floor muscles, which are our internal muscles in our pelvis, and we also talked about hip rocking. And those are two of the most important movements. And hip rocking can all go all the way up your spine, kind of like a little undulation up your spine. But those three things, the sound, the breath, and those movements, if you learn nothing else and you just play with enhancing your breath, allowing yourself to make some sounds and playing with sounds and using your muscles, you're going to have better sex.
Well, those are all wonderful, and so I'm just going to pick one of them, and I'm going to pick breath because I'm a big lover of using breath. I mean, I love them all, and a super special place in my heart for breath. Actually, I just want to say you and your partner wrote some blog entries on breath that just opened my heart, just blew me away. There were such beautiful blog entries. And so would you just say a little bit more about how you'd use breath?
I would be delighted to. You know, breath is the only system in our body that's innervated by both our voluntary and involuntary nervous systems. And that's why it's the foundational tool in all mind-body disciplines. It's where our conscious and our unconscious overlap. And so our breath can be used to calm down. Our breath can be used to get more excited and aroused. And the thing about sexual arousal is it's a dance between tension and relaxation, right? If I'm too relaxed, if I'm getting a massage and I get really relaxed, I'll fall asleep. That might be great if I want to relax my muscles, but if I'm having sex, falling asleep is not what I want to have happen. If I'm too tense, I'm not going to get aroused either. So what we're going for when we're playing with our breath and our sexual arousal journey is first to just notice what our breath is doing anyway. Notice that I'm feeling tense and my breath is being held a little bit. Okay, let me release it. Let me open it. Let me slow it down a little. Or I notice I'm really not paying attention to what's going on. My mind has wandered off, and our mind, of course, you know, our little monkey minds, they're all over the place, right? They're like, oh my gosh, look at the cobwebs, I need to dust. So if I notice I've wandered off, I can use my breath to bring myself back.
So give me an example, like just...
well, a deep... sighing breath is always a good start. A nice, regular, just to get yourself present, that's centered in your body, bring yourself back if you've wandered off. And then once you're sort of at that early level and you've gotten present, you stopped your mind from running around like a crazy thing, and you're present and you're noticing what's going on, you can send your breath deeper into your body. You can send it down so that it's actually a sensation as if you're breathing through your crotch. We're starting to use another tool, by the way, that's vision, and that's our internal vision. And we're using a mind tool of intention, too, while we're at it. So by taking that same breath I just did, but imagining it's going up and down my body, my whole body, I start to get my body turned on. Oh, good. This is good. Then say I'm at low-level arousal and I want to bring my arousal up higher. At that point, I might want to start speeding my breath up a little. I might want to start doing a deeper, faster breath. I might want to start doing a and bringing the energy up. So your breath is this wonderful multi-purpose tool that you can use with intention to take you where you want to go. Now, of course, I was also using a little bit of sound with that. And when you start adding the sound to the breath, you can start using the breath to you can start playing with the sound and the breath together and bringing yourself again into different kinds of erotic states. In fact, I actually, if you go to my website, there's a little 5-minute video of me doing what's called a 3-breath orgasm. where using breath, sound, pelvic floor muscles, vision, intention, and practice, I basically do three breaths and have an orgasm without using my hands. Hose on, hands off. And it's an advanced skill, but remember these are skills, so the more you practice them, the easier they get. And the more you practice consciously bringing your breath in, playing with your sound, I've got my pelvic muscles trained now that as soon as I start breathing like that, my pelvic floor muscles are playing along. So they're like, those three things are just trained to always work together. Once you start getting that happening, it gets easier and easier to get aroused. And when you're having an orgasm, the more you breathe into it, you can use your breath and your sound to ride that wave and use your muscles to keep pumping the energy. And it's the easiest way to extend your orgasm. The sort of easiest first step is that when you're orgasming and you're going, just keep going, and breathe and pump your muscles, and if you do that, you can take your orgasm from a, 20-second or 30-second orgasm and get it to a minute orgasm. You know, you can double your orgasm just by playing with those tools during your orgasm.
Well, some of the things I really like about what you're saying is I think when the way you're sounding it is you're really softening your throat. It's not a hard sound, but it's a very guttural sound. Oh, it's very sexy, and it's a very relaxed throat. And so it's connected to your pelvis. And the sound is, that's what I'm hearing. And also, the sound keeps you present and lets your partner know how much you're enjoying it. So you're staying very connected with your partner as well as connecting to your own experience. So you're doing a lot when you're actually in what you've just taught our listeners.
Well, you just hit on any number of important points. My background for 20 years primarily was as a midwife. And I learned a lot of what I learned about sex by helping women birth. And I learned this a long time ago, that the mouth and the throat are connected to the genitals. And if you want the energy to be moving down and out and opening your genitals, it won't happen if your mouth and your throat are closed up and tight. So that is exactly right on. They're completely connected.
Right. And I don't think you have to make sounds, but I do think you want to have your jaw open. And I always say, at least imagine you could put a banana in there and not cut it in half.
I agree that you really, having that open is really important. And silence can be a wonderful thing sometimes. And I really encourage people to explore the soundtrack of their pleasure, because a lot of times the silence isn't helping. It's good when it's at that point where it's just helping you be utterly focused and present.
Right.
But sound also is so useful because it actually tells your brain to pay attention.
Right.
Because our brains are very busy. There's a lot going on. So silence can be good, but even little sounds, even the sounds I was making when I was breathing are going to help.
Exactly. What about choice? And I think some people can flip between sometimes they want to go into silence and sometimes they want to make sounds. So I think to have the whole spectrum available to them when they want it is where it's at. And that's why I was saying I thought your sounds were so gorgeous. Beautiful modeling.
Why, thank you. And, I think also because we have so much sound inhibition about sex, there's something incredibly freeing about allowing yourself to make sound, because we all grew up doing that thing where we didn't want somebody to know we were having sex, right? Because we were fooling around in our bedroom. We didn't want our parents to hear, or we didn't want the kids in the front seat of the car to know what we were doing in the back seat. So we got really quiet so nobody would know we're having sex. And when you break free, every time you free something in yourself, you'll have better sex.
Well, that's true. And I'm going to play the devil's advocate and say that for some people, that's their choice, is to be quiet. So, but I think it is important to to learn to have the option. You know, so if you're being quiet because you're really stuck, it's very different than having, a soft throat, an open throat, and being able to be expressive and being a choice.
Absolutely. So I agree with you completely.
So there's a million ways to do it, and to do it in freedom is what's really beautiful. And definitely to free the breath, whatever you do, is so beautiful. And to make sure you know how to free the sound, if that's your path, is the way I'd say it.
I agree completely. I mean, one of the things I say over and over again in my classes is there is no one right way to do any of this. And you are in your own laboratory, and you're running experiments and noticing what happens, noticing what works, noticing what helps, noticing what stops you. And so that's really the game, you know?
Yeah, and I think we're all at our own stage, you know? And I know for me, it took me years to learn how to talk, how to ask for what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And this is years after I was really orgasmic and having expanded orgasms. And it took me years to actually break the sound barrier. It was an evolution, and I'm still pretty quiet, although I have a very soft jaw and I can breathe and I can sound but for a long time I was just absolutely silent, and so it took me quite a while to just, I think that for my brain to get to the point where it was okay. So it was important for me to honor my process too. So I wanted to put that out there for all women and men to really love themselves wherever they are. And I loved what you were doing. I think the place where you connect the soft jaw, just the exhaling and the sounding with the breathing is just beautiful. And then see what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. And, you know, the thing about this journey we're on this lifelong learning journey. And wherever we are, we've already learned so much. We've already come so far. And, again, I just want to so agree with what you said about honoring where you are in the journey and not feeling like, you know, oh, I should be able to have a three-breath orgasm. It's like, no, it takes a long time to work up to that. You can learn any of this stuff if you want to.
Uh-huh.
And it depends on how much time and energy you put into it and how much you want it. It's all learnable, but you don't have to learn any of it, and there's no right way.
That's true, right, because I'm on the quiet side. I know other women that are just, they wouldn't even know what to do if they couldn't, I call it sound, just make mm-hmm. a lot of sound. So it just mm-hmm. is a whole spectrum out there, and what I've learned is to just honor pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring this show to a close, and I would love to invite you to bring in one final thought to inspire our listeners.
Well, remember that this is play, that you're playing with pleasure, and it's easy to get stuck thinking there's a right way or a wrong way, but there's not. There's just the way that works for you, and your job is to play and discover it and have fun.
Well, thank you so much. I want to tell you, I have had so much fun talking with you. I just am smiling. I'm turned on. I'm wet. I'm coming. I'm just vibrating from head to toe. I've had so much fun talking to you, and I feel like I've learned a lot. I can't wait to have you back on the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you for all your wonderful work and for having me as a guest.
It's just
such
been
a
delight. We've been talking with Sherry Winston. She's coming out with a book in the fall, The Anatomy of Arousal. Obviously, we're talking to an expert. And so look for that in the fall. In the meantime, you'll just have to listen to this podcast a few times and learn all about everything she's had to share with us. And thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, do check out our new feature at personallifemedia.com. It's called Notify Me, and you can be notified every time a new episode of the Expanded Lovemaking Show comes out. Just go to personallifemedia.com/signup, and you can choose same-day notification or get a weekly digest. So you'll never miss a show. So that brings us to the end of our show. Please send me, Patty, email at personallifemedia.com. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. And please visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list and find out more about my products, services, and events. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.